Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your host, Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast. I'm your host, Bob DeMarco. And on this edition of the Midweek Supplemental, we'll be taking a look at Gerber's new outdoor giant Ballysong type knife. I get a new Randall, a number 2.7 combat stiletto. Of course, we're going to be gushing over that. And top 10 gifts from knife community friends. I've gotten knives from friends I've made since starting this podcast and starting this channel. Other YouTubers and people have sent me, fans have sent me, fans, you know what I mean, listeners have sent me things, and they mean a lot to me, and they'll never leave the collection. And last week, I detailed some knives by good friends, family, and actual makers. And this week, I want to detail some of the knives that have been given to me from my my Knife World friends. So that's what we have coming up. But as always, we're going to start with a little pocket check to break the ice. Now, today, usually I have them in the desk in front of me, and I thought, how inauthentic. I should have them in my pocket and pull them out for you. So today I have the Emerson PSARC. PSARC stands for Police Search and Rescue Knife. Now, the original version of this was just the SARC, Search and Rescue Knife, and it had a blunted tip, has a blunted tip. They still make that. So that if you're cutting under a seatbelt to pull someone from wreckage, you don't, stab them accidentally with this incredibly acute raven bill tip. I don't know. I just made that up. Hawk bill tip. So the PSARC is a favorite of mine. It reminds me of the Ganunting sword that the Filipino Marines use. And it's just a favorite that doesn't get much use. I'm thinking this needs the blades and such treatment. You can see, I don't know what it is, but the G10 on these Emersons really pick up the dry skin, and it's kind of gross. So I got to take a toothbrush and some alcohol and clean that out. I guess I didn't need to draw attention to it, but we all like our G10 nice and grippy. So there you go. Also, in my waistline today, I have my Topps Rapid Strike. I opted for my Rapid Strike, double-edged. Why not? I say, why not? This is such a great little knife. Let's say, what is this? 4.5-inch blade, I believe. Something like that, 4-inch blade. And just a little honey. Very, very slender. Jimped all the way around this handle. If you notice, I don't know if you've ever seen the picture of this, but this has a glass breaker at the end. The tang comes to a sort of pyramid, and it's, you know, intended for glass breaking. I ground that off for two reasons. First of all is, this to me is a self-defense knife, and with those double edges and that long, slender blade. And in a self-defense situation, you might be apt to grab it, the knife, in reverse grip. And in such a case, I would want to have my thumb over the top so that it would stop my hand from sliding onto that blade, because there really is not much of a guard other than that choil, that forward finger choil. So I got rid of that pyramidal glass breaker on the pommel for that reason. And also, it seems like this is just not much to grip anyway, to get much energy behind that glass breaker. I could be totally mistaken, you know. I did a glass breaker video this past summer, testing different glass breakers. At that point, I had already ground this off, but I didn't even think to try it. In any case, I don't need a glass breaker on my Rapid Strike. That, to me, is like a little commando knife. I'm a sucker for double edges, of course, and daggers, you know that. I've been going through a stage. But I love the asymmetric double edge blades also, like this, or like the Big Bear Classic, whatever you call it, the Loveless style double hilt. Love that. Double edge, asymmetrical. All for it. Okay, last thing in my pocket is the Rough Rider Micarta work knife. And this one was in the blue denim handle. This is a great little knife. This is the sort of the poor man's version of the number 47 Great Eastern Cutlery. It's about the same size and same form factor, just $15. as opposed to like $115 probably. Great knife. I really do like this knife. And they call it the work knife, and it is a good worker. This has been, I've been on IKEA duty again, and this has been what I've been using to open boxes because, I don't know, just been trying it out and cutting down boxes. As you can see, I was good about hitting it with alcohol before we roll here. I'm not too much about showing tape smudges. I'd rather look at a nice clean knife. So these are the three things in my pocket today. I got the Emerson Peace Arc. I got the double edge Topps Rapid Strike minus the glass breaker. And I have the Rough Rider Micarta work knife. Before we go ahead and go into knife life news, I wanted to talk a little bit about Thursday Night Knives. We've had a couple of really great ones these past few weeks. You know, I took a COVID break a couple weeks back, and then these last few episodes since we've been back have been excellent. People have been joining in on the show. All you have to do is go to theknifejunkie.com/join and have a smartphone or a tablet or a laptop and just aim that camera at you, get some light on you. That's preferable. Otherwise, you look kind of creepy. And, you know, join the conversation about knives. You're not required to stay there for long at all. Just hang out, say hi. This is what I'm carrying. And you can take off, or we might strike up a conversation. So definitely check us out. Thursday Night Knives, live every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern on YouTube. So join us, please. Also, if you like this show and other shows just like it by the Knife Junkie, you might want to check us out on Patreon. We have three levels of support. You get Knife Junkie stickers, a mention on the podcast, early access to the Sunday interview show and the midweek supplemental with no ads during the show, and other exclusive opportunities like Hangouts, etc. Your support helps fund the infrastructure needs of the show, like hosting servers, apps, and equipment, as well as knives for review, donation, and giveaways. So join us here on Patreon and see what... join us there on Patreon and see what helping us gets you. That's theknifejunkie.com/Patreon. And I'll say that one more time, theknifejunkie.com/Patreon.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. And now here's the Knife Junkie with the Knife Life News.
A lot of knives being mentioned there in that last liner. I love it. So Gerber has a new thing out. I'm calling it a thing because I'm not quite sure what to call it. It's a 6.5, 6.75 inch bladed outdoors knife, but it comes in a Ballysong-esque package. It is called, what are they calling this thing? I'm sorry, the Double Down. That's right, the Double Down. And it's pretty cool looking. I've seen a few reviews of it already, kind of advanced reviews. We saw it, I think it was SHOT Show last year. They sort of introduced the concept. I think they refined it over this past year and now are starting to drip it out to the culture. But this thing, as you can see, opens up like a Ballysong, but it does not flip readily. It's something that you have to manipulate with both hands. But look at that. To me, this is looking like something Cold Steel would make. That big 6-inch blade and the handles. Okay, so right there you can see the model there is pulling back on the locks. I think there are two locks on it, so you cannot flip this thing. But who knows, maybe there's a hack. But you can see right at the pivot there, some gearing, where the two pivots of the two handle sides come together, there's some gearing. So it is not loose and flippy. Anyway, I guess I've stressed that enough, but this is very appealing to me, and it's rare that I say that about a Gerber. You look at that, and you look at that last picture that Jim had up. You had it opened and closed, and you can see how large and capable it is here. Open, you see towards the end of the handle a big swale and a bird's beak for your hand, and then a forefinger choil. And that allows you to go way back on that blade, extending it by at least 4 inches. So that's about a 10-inch blade you could be swinging with. And then when you fold it down, it folds down into about a 7-inch package. So a really interesting, kind of compelling outdoor knife type thing from Gerber. I call it a knife type thing. I don't know what to call it. It's kind of like a small folding machete. But anyway, they're, by the way, their locking mechanism TM is called the Quad Lock. So there you have it. Kind of interesting, kind of exciting from Gerber. Next, we have Serge Panchenko, who is always legitimately exciting and interesting. I really like his designs. I've never actually had one, but he's famous for the Bean design and also some knives he's put out through Boker, I think. In any case, Serge Panchenko just put out a utility razor, very much in his style. If you look at the handle looks just like all of the... He put out three slip joints recently under his Serge Knives shingle, and they all bore this handle. There was, I think, a Warncliffe and a clip point and a spear point. So this is the same basic chassis, it seems, with a slip joint locking mechanism or slip joint opening mechanism. But as you can see, it is built to accept a standard razor. So really interesting. I've been seeing a number of guys online, both reviewers and knife makers. Who did I see? Maybe it was Jim Skelton has one of these and was using it opening up boxes of steel in his knife making shop. And just said that Serge Panchenko knocked it out of the park with this. A lot of different makers in the past 5 to 10 years have done their take on the utility razor. I'm thinking of Todd Rexford but many others. And this is a very unique take on it. And it is so, it looks so much like his style. So interesting. You know, I think this is going for $115 to $135. If you have use for it, very, very cool item from Serge Panchenko. His designs are really interesting. All right. So next, state of the collection. Got to talk about a couple of things that have happened here. I don't want to say I've done them. I'm going to say they've happened. Well, let's start. I'm going to start in reverse order. I got this yesterday. This was an impulse purchase while buying a laptop for my wife. It's called the... I'm sorry, I'm laughing because it was sort of like, aren't I a good husband for buying this laptop? I guess I should buy a knife for myself kind of purchase. So this is... But in reality, this is something I'd been looking for and I wasn't able to find anywhere. And then some seller on Amazon had a couple of these. But this is the Condor Tool and Knife. Out of El Salvador. This is they call this the dragon, the Norse dragon. It's like their Viking knife. Now, I'm not going to call it a sax because I've been yelled at for saying Viking sax. So whatever, if this is a Viking knife, right? You have on the handle, you have this dragon rune. Really nice handle. You have their Condor El Salvador. I really love their font. Beautiful. Sort of burned into the wood. Now, and then you get to the 1075 hand, blade. This is a 7-inch blade. This has the exact sort of dimensions as your, traditional combat knife, like the Randall 1 or the K-bar with that 7-inch blade. Ooh, look at that. Almost cut myself. So that triangle shape, that sort of old school look, that, roughly hewn, blade. Everything about this knife I really like. It's very thin. I mean, relatively speaking for a knife like this. And light. I mean, not very thin. It's very light, somewhat thin on the blade. We've got this nice ferrule here. And I just look forward to having this knife. Apparently, a lot of people use this as a sort of outdoor, backyard, cutting through the bush kind of knife, which a lot of Condor knives are good for. This sheath is outstanding. I didn't think it would be necessarily. Sometimes I'm not happy with Condor sheaths. Sometimes they use a leather I'm not fond of. This is really nice. It's, shrink. What do you call this? Welted. Is that right? And inside, you know, you've got a very acute pokey tip in this sort of sax knife here. So if you look down in the sheath, you can see that there is a really stout plastic housing on the inside that takes the blade and really nestles it in this sheath. It's not going to come through that leather at all. And that is always an issue with this kind of seriously pointy blade. For instance, my bush sacks, my mini bush sacks by Bark River Knives poked through, as soon as I got it, it was poking through the leather sheath, and it has a very acute point. So I had to shellac some pieces of canvas on the end to make a little stop there. They took care of that with an insert. This is a very impressive knife for, what was it, $65 I paid for it. So, yeah, I highly recommend it. I like Condor Tool and Knife, and I've been needing a Sax-ish blade. I've been needing this kind of thing. So, you know, to round out the collection and the blade shapes and such. So, glad I found it. Okay, so next we have, well, let me tell you first what I sold to partially fund this. I sold my CRKT Provoke. That's the production version of Joe Caswell's Morphing Karambit. I sold that for, you know, a very fair price. The guy got a good deal on that. I sold my Topps Interceptor, which is a 4-inch tanto. Sold that to a good friend of the show, a Blade Ogre. And then I sold this, which I haven't sent out yet. My Topps Ranger's Edge. You're getting rid of a dagger? You're getting rid of a Topps knife? I know. I just got rid of two. I have decided where my sweet spot is with Topps. My sweet spot with Topps is in either large knives or small knives. Small, hideaway, self-defense knives. This is a great knife. This 5-inch dagger is really excellent. I love it, but it just doesn't fit my collecting needs. And since I wanted to buy a dagger, which I'm going to show you, this one went. This guy got a great deal too, because I'm a really great dealer, really, really fair guy. That's, I guess, what I'm trying to tell you. And then I was unsuccessful yet again. I mean, I feel bad for this knife because I've put it up for sale so many times and no one has ever bought it. And I'm like, I guess I'll keep you. And the knife is kind of like, yeah, until you get, you know, a wandering eye. Anyway, it is the ZT-0055, the Gus Ciccini designed knife. This is the production version of his Airborne custom model. It is really a great knife. It's got a wonderful blade. It's very thinly ground, flat ground. And I'm not trying to sell it to you right now. I'm thinly ground, flat ground. The blade looks like a stealth wing fighter. The whole thing is just cool looking to me. It's got this SLT flipper that hides away. When it's closed, it just extends right here. You pull it, it's got a little bit of take up. Sorry, that's just because I'm doing it lefty. It's got a little bit of take up like a revolver, and then it goes. Very cool knife. This one is back in my pocket, back in the collection, because I couldn't sell this one. But it's all going to fund what already arrived. So there are a few more knives on the chopping block, like probably my Ultra Tech and some other things. But that was all in the service of this right here. So this is my new Randall Model 2-7. Model 2 is the fighting stiletto, and the 7 stands for 7-inch blade. And this was yet another opportunity grab off of Knife Center. Knife Center has the occasional infusion of Randall-made knives that you can just buy off the shelf. And I jumped at the opportunity because I have been really, since I got the number 16 Special Fighter, I've been wanting the stiletto, and now I kind of feel like my Randall-made knives scratch has been itched for now. I mean, there are plenty of others that I would like to get, but really, to get the number 1 blade and the number 2 blade was what I was really excited about. And this handle, well, let's take a look at it. This handle is what I really wanted. This is the stacked leather handle. It's contoured like a Coke bottle, and looks the most like the emblematic combat Bowie. They do make this in a few other shapes. One that swells out more towards the end, but is symmetrical, kind of like a coffin-shaped handle. And I've seen others, and now I can't really think of exactly what they were. I think maybe Stag or something. But this symmetry in the handle here is what I was going for, because it matches the beautiful symmetry of this 7-inch hollow ground double-edged blade. This thing is, to me, represents the classic American commando knife style knife. Commando style knife. World War II, I guess, is when it first saw action in combat. And it's been sought after ever since. I can't imagine personally strapping this onto my belt and going into combat with it, only because I'd be worried about dinging it up. But that is the whole point. That's one of the reasons why I'm collecting it. I shouldn't say that. That's why I have gotten two Randall made knives, is that to me, the history of these actually going into combat and serving, you know, soldiers ever since 1937 in soldiers and Marines, you know, fighting men of the Americas, fighting men and women. I just love that history. Of course, for me, this is not going to have that same purpose, but the fact that it is such a fine handmade knife, such a beautiful piece that I love, but has also a long, long proven history of kicking butt in the field. That's what I love. Okay. Finally, I got that out. So, I can't believe I didn't bring my other Randall just to compare, but this is a very exciting development in my collection. And for now, I'm going to have to back off a little. You know, Randall made knives, like them, and I'm going to keep kind of going to Arizona Custom Knives, because they also have a flow of Randall knives that come through there. But those are from estate sales and knife collectors selling off collections and stuff. And you know me, I love pre-owned knives. I love knives that have a history, not only in terms of their pedigree, but in terms of their ownership. So I'm open to all possibilities, and Arizona Custom Knives is one of them. So thank you for coming on this journey through my collection. I'm very happy with the Norse Dragon. Of course, I'm thrilled about the Randall 2. And you know what, little guy? I'm happy to have you back in my pocket. If you didn't see it, that was the sound of the much maligned, or I should say much ignored, ZT-0055. Definitely a cool knife. All right. Next, top 10 gift knives from Knife Community Friend. And, so I set out to do the top 10 gifts knives last week, gift knives. And, since I'd gotten so many from my brother, and a whole lot from my parents, and a whole lot from my brother-in-law, and a whole lot from my wife, I decided to just represent one from each. And then, I've had a lot of designers and makers on the show, and some of them have given me gifts. And, so I wanted to show those, put those together. These are the knives that good friends that I've made since doing this with other channels have sent me, and also listeners of the show and viewers of the show. And each one of them means a lot to me, just because they were sent to me out of the kindness of someone's heart, out of enthusiasm and that shared enthusiasm for knives. So it means a lot to me. But they are all really awesome knives too. Like it's not like someone's like, "Oh, Bob, I love knives too. Here, take my old gas station knife." These are all sweet. So let's get started. First was a gift, from our good friend Stu. This was probably the first gift I got from a listener of the show. Our good friend Stu, he has a company up in Vermont, Stone and Steel, and they sell knives at gun shows and such. He reached out to me, said, "I carry in my back pocket the big brother of this. Do you think you want something like it?" And I said yes. And it is the Spyderco Delica Warncliffe with the serrated edge. Now, Stu asked me, he's like, "Do you want the Endura or the Delica?" And I love big knives, but I opted for the Delica because I just know myself, and I don't carry my Endura, but I do carry my Delicas. And these ride beautifully in the back left pocket next to my bandana. So I knew that I'd be carrying this. He sent it to me, and I was carrying it for about a year, maybe a year and change. And then whilst perusing Smoky Mountain Knife Works, I saw that they also, and I say also because these are not Flytanium titanium scales, these are Rocky Mountain or Smoky Mountain Knife Works titanium scales. They probably make them in their Rough Rider shop or something like that. But they're aftermarket scales. I wanted to dress this knife up a little. It means a lot to me. It had that the black grivery handle, and it works great, and it's nice and light. But I just wanted to special it up a little, so I got these titanium scales. This is a great knife, Stu. Thanks so much. The serrations on the spidey teeth. What do they call those? Spidey edge teeth are just wicked. I love this little knife. So that's going to sit over here on the left. Next, Christine from Women Carry Knives. Awesome channel. Great lady. I was commenting on her video of this knife. This is the CRKT Pete. And I was like, man, that's such a classy little knife. I love that thing. Of course, this is designed by Jesper Voxnes, and it has all of his sort of design signatures. It's just a charming little knife. And it's got, what do you call it? GRN handles. It's got a nice anodized blue backspacer, deep carry pocket clip with countersunk screws and flathead screw, tops. It's just a great knife. It's got a thin, slicey blade. Well, it's actually kind of stout for a small blade, but it gets to a really thin edge. Great knife. I commented on her thing. I love that knife. I gotta get me one. And she's like, give me your address. And she sent it to me. And I thought, how cool is that? That was one of my first interactions of the type with a fellow YouTuber. It's like, that's so cool, man. She obviously likes the knife from how she reviewed it. And, she recognized that I liked it too, I guess, cause I kept talking about it, and she sent it to me, and I thought that was awesome. So definitely check out Women Carry Knives on YouTube. She has a great channel, and her husband, A Therapeutic Edge, also has a great channel. Next was a gift from our good friend, Mike Latham. Mike Latham, is the owner and proprietor and mastermind of CollectorKnives.net. CollectorKnives.net is an online purveyor where you can get Great Eastern cutlery knives, and you can get a lot of the slip joint and traditional style knives that we all love. Mike also designs knives and collaborates with Fox and Lion Steel and the Italian knife makers to come out with some beautiful modern slip joints. This, he had been listening to the show, and I was going off. I was in my Rough Rider phase, and Rough Rider and marbles are adjacent. So he sent me this really cool elephant toenail by Marbles with this beautiful green bone that's been sort of stagified. You know, it's not real stag, but they kind of made it look like it. Beautiful, beautiful, stout elephant toenail knife. Elephant toenail is a big, broad slip joint with a big spear point blade that's quite broad and a giant, kind of pill shaped handle, and really fits the hand well. The way the myth goes, it's used for on ships. Like, you put this big blade on top of a piece of rope, and then you pound on it with a mallet. Apparently, that's not actually true. I really like the idea of that being true. But really, this was used a lot by Midwestern electricians, apparently, at the height of this design's popularity. You've got that big spear point blade, and then you have a smaller, very hard to extract, and quite sharp pen blade on the back. This knife has a lot of character. This has a lot of character. Thanks, Mike. He sent me a package a while back with four or five Rough Riders in it, and this. He heard my junkie talk, and he was like, I gotta help this guy's Jones out. And he sent me this fantastic knife. All right, next. Joe, the Knife Whisperer, good friend of the show, and another guy with a great channel. He's hilarious, and he's got great taste in knives, and he offers great insight packaged in humor. I mean, what better way to get insight than packaged in humor? He sent me this just out of the kindness of his heart. This is the Civivi Dogma. Now, I had the Civivi Shredder, which has a similarly uniquely shaped clip point blade with a giant opening hole. And I liked it, especially for the uniqueness of the blade, but it just, you know, left me a little bit cold. Now, with knives that I know I'm not going to carry in my front right pocket, I like them smaller. I just know that the shredder was just not one I carried. So I knew that a smaller version of that would even be better. And that's what this is, basically. It's the smaller, better looking brother of the shredder, if you ask me. I love that blade. It's got a real long, wicked shaped clip and a nice curving belly shape with an acute point and also a choil for your finger for that close in work, whatever that is. And then you've got that nice big opening hole. And this is on bearings and flips like a dream. But also, if you use your right hand, or if I use my right hand, it spidey flicks quite nicely. Let me see if I can do that with my left hand. No. Okay. So, Joe, recognizing my tastes and being a cool guy, said, I have this knife. I want to send it to you as a gift. And he did, and I'm very grateful. This thing is definitely pajama knife. You know, this is definitely a light. This is a workout shorts knife. Great for light pants and light carry. If you look in here, you can see the liners, and they look like sort of like bridge work. They've gotten rid of so much material there and have just left a rigid sort of bridge triangular interlocking bridge framework thing. My point being, it's very rigid because of the liners, but very light because they got rid of a lot of material from the liners. Okay, the next two are from BJ Hill of Hilltop Gear. And he has a great channel, but also does great modification work. He's been setting things on fire, doing his modifications to the Rat 2 and Rat 1, but also the Yojumbo and the Yojimbo. He's got he's been modding these knives and has a real look of his own and style going. In any case, we were talking online. He was like, I understand you like Rough Riders. I'm going to send you one. And he did. This is a Rough Rider, I guess, that he had for a while. This is a trapper, traditional style trapper, meaning it's got the muskrat style clip blade. This one has two pulls. Unnecessary, but thank you. And it also has a very useful spay blade. This is the traditional trapper slip joint setup. Spay blade for spaying animals. And that clip point blade for cutting your cheese. You know, all in the same afternoon. So this thing also has a copper handle. And then it's punctuated with these really nice bone. They look kind of like Appaloosa. I don't know what kind of bone. I'm sure it's a cow shin bone, but it kind of looks like an Appaloosa style bone. Is that right? Am I just saying things I've heard before? That's probably possible. Now, if we're going to look at this aesthetically, there's one thing I don't like. And you're thinking, oh, it's the untraditional black-coated blade. And you'd be wrong. I actually think it looks really cool. I also like the look of the handle. The one thing aesthetically I don't like are the double pulls. Never liked them. Don't like them on GECs. Don't like them here. I know that, I guess, finer knives had that. But, you know, one's enough for me. It's just another opportunity for filth and muck to get stuck in your blade. Does anyone know what filth and muck is from? Anyone know? If you write me and let me know what filth and muck comes from, I'll send you a t-shirt. There, I said it. I'll send you a t-shirt. All right, so let's do this. Next is another one from BJ Hill. And this one was cool. I have to be honest, he suggested you could sell this if you want, but I'm not gonna take a gift knife and sell it. And plus, I really like this knife. This is the Kaiser Roach. I've always been Kaiser Roach curious, but never went for it. This is a Matt Degnan design. And, you know, we talk about neutral handles on this show and the good and the bad. And this has the opposite of a neutral handle. This is far, far curved, far contoured. I mean, it really forces your hand into positions that I'm not fond of. No, I'm just kidding. But this one part back here, As you can see, there's a little pinky thing where there are three swales on the handle of this knife. There's a finger choil up front for your forefinger. There's a middle swale for your next two fingers. And then there's a third dip out where your pinky is supposed to go. And it's fine, but I think this last little thing was unnecessary. And it reduces your options. However, it also adds to the charm of this knife. I mean, look at that ridiculous handle. It's so cool. It looks great. And when you have it locked in, it feels great. You just can't be too sloppy about how you hold this knife. Now, it's begging for this grip, for choking up in that finger choil on the blade and sliding everything up by one digit. This is the most comfortable way to use this knife. And this is probably the most effective way to use this knife too, because as you can see here, this is a broad leaf-shaped blade. This to me is like a pocket barong. It reminds me of the Filipino barong. It's just like a big leaf-shaped blade, very broad. And the flat grind goes almost all the way to the spine. As you can see, it's 4/5 of the way up the blade, I guess. And it's very thin and sharp behind that edge. So this is a really, really great user knife. Contoured G10 handle scales are very comfortable, as long as your fingers find the right place. And then there's that gray titanium coating on the blade. And what is the blade? What is this? I think it's D2. No, this is N690. The vaunted European. That's like their, I don't know, 154cm or something. I'm not speaking in terms of steel qualities, but in terms of how common it is. N690 is the most common European blade steel, as far as I can tell. All right, I'll just stop there. Next is from Lavender Pants, our good friend Lavender Pants 86. He's a good friend of Thursday Night Knives and the show, and he sent me this. This is the Boker Kalashnikov XL, the Kalashnikov 74 XL Bowie. Apparently, this was his wife was concerned about this being in the same house with their lovely children, and so he said, he sent it to me. And knowing that that's not a concern in this household, I guess, this is a cool knife. It's an automatic, as you can see, so can't take this out of the house. But it's this really unique Bowie blade with that abrupt clip point and a long straight. I like the long straight. It's a very good and usable blade. This is D2 steel. You got your D2 steel there. And then aluminum, textured aluminum handles. Great jimping on the back. And you know what? You need that for this big knife. You know, this is presumably something that you might use in a tactical situation. You don't have much of a guard here. So that jimping for the thumb is not only welcome, but I'm glad that it's good jimping. It works well. You have that nice sort of polished stone wash effect on the blade finish, and a very, very sharp blade. And then the edge just kind of stops right there. I kind of wish they took it all the way, but you know, you've got the weird clip and slappy action. Now there's snappy action and there's slappy action. To me, Protec out the sides are snappy. They like snap open and jump out, you know, almost want to jump out of your hand. The Benchmade out the sides that I've experienced are slappy. Whoosh! They're still powerful. They still come out, but there's a little bit of jello lag when they come out. They flop out a little bit. And that's the same thing with this, with the Boker Kalashnikov. It's not snappy. It's not the spring is not stout enough to bring this giant blade out in a snappy kind of Protec way. It's a little more lackadaisical, but hey man, it gets there in like, you know, a tenth of a second later, I guess. I can deal with that. Just as long as it's not too strong that it doesn't engage the lock. That's the real problem with too strong a spring on an automatic. So thank you, Lavender Pants. I love this knife, and it is the third of my Bokers. I have a small clutch, and that's probably where I'll keep it until they come out with something new, though. They just recently ripped off a Fred Perrin fixed blade design. And Fred Perrin was like, what is this? And he got a whole bunch of people on Instagram kind of incensed about it, and they pulled the product. If you looked at it, it was an exact copy of one of his little street Warncliffs. Fred Perrin, French knife designer and knife fighting expert, and just general badass that designs, you know, has a line of fixed blades. And man, they just, some designer got that through and some people at Boker didn't realize it or something. That's benefit of the doubt. But I'm glad they were responsive to the crowd uproar. Not that I'm saying, well, whatever, not going there. Next is a gift from our good, good friend, Dave. This Old Sword, Blade Reviews, another great channel on YouTube. I really love Dave's taste in knives. He like I trends towards the large and the tactical folders. He's got a background in Filipino martial arts like I do, but he trained long term with some of the real heavy hitters. And he sent along a few knives for the giveaways, and he said I could keep whatever I want, and I said I'm not going to keep any of them. However, I'm going to foster this one. This is the Cold Steel Immortal, and by the way, that is a joke. I told him I was going to keep it, but you know, like how you foster a child or a dog. I was thinking I would foster this and give it a good home for a while, and then. But the truth is, I always regretted not getting an Immortal, and this one is in CTX. XHP, a steel that I really like and am more interested in having on a cold steel than S35VN. For what reason? No real reason. It's just how I feel. It's all emotions based over here at the Knife Junkie Podcast. But this knife, if you look at it, it's like a Tanto, an American Tanto meets a Gladius. And it's in your pocket here. Looking at the blade, if you look at just the bottom part, it is 100% cold steel American Tanto, just with a sort of extended tip. And then you add the top and you have that swedge. It's an incredible thruster here. So, oh, and also on the back spacer is an aluminum gear pattern, crown, and you can really crown someone with it. And it offers great grip for your thumb in reverse grip. This is an awesome knife. And I think it kind of gets a little short shrift out there. I remember Jimmy Slash kind of gave it a negative review when it came out. It just didn't fit his hand well. And I don't know. I really like it. I think it's got a lot of character. And for a tactical knife, I think it'd be extremely useful. And just an everyday, just bang around knife, I think it'd be useful if you can handle carrying a Gladius around in your pocket. Okay, two more. The last, second to last one, the penultimate one, is this. Man, what an amazing gift. This is from Bill, a good friend of the show. And this is the Emerson Super CQC 15. It's the perfectly sized 15. I used to have the standard sized one with the shorter blade and the shorter handle. And I don't have large hands, but I remember feeling like I was being boxed in by the handle. It was just not quite long enough to have such a pronounced bird's beak at the end. I ended up selling that quite a while ago. And here, Bill gets in touch with me and says, I have a knife and I have a strict rule of collecting. Collect three, carry one. And this one's getting pushed out of my pocket. Can I send it to you? And I said, please do. And what an amazing gift this is. He sent it to me without a clip because he carried it in his front pocket, I think with a lanyard, and had lost the clip. So I had an old busted up clip from something else, put it on there. And I like how that looks. He got a silver opening button here from Gray. I think that's Gray Precision. Just a great and extremely generous gift. Now, you know, Emersons are very sharp, especially the V ground. Ones or the large chisel ground ones. But this one is just because of the broadness of the blade and the height of the grind, it's just extremely sharp. This is just scary sharp. And we like that. Scary, scary, not scary. So this one is game for a micarta handle. also. And up there, you can see, I don't know what that is. That's from towels trying to clean what was there in the first place. Their G10 is like sandpaper, so it picks up a lot of stuff. Okay, here we are at the last one. This is number 10. 10 out of 10 of the top gifts from Knife Community Friends. And these, of course, were in no particular order. This is my new backpack knife. It has replaced my Recon 1 4-inch clip point, which was riding my backpack, and my SOG seal pup fixed blade. Temporarily, I wanted to see what it's like just to have one knife that I don't use in my bag. And so it's this, a gift from Jimmy Slash, and that is the Formax Scout. Jimmy Slash was on the show a little while back, and he's been on a couple of times. What a great guy. We did a deep cut about large cold steel folders. And at some point in that conversation, I mentioned that I had never had a Formax, and he's got a sprawling collection of Formaxes. I believe he's got a couple that are actual custom Demco Formaxes, and then he has every possible iteration from the Italian made to the US made to the Scouts to the new one that they have that just came out. He is a devotee. He is devoted to the Formax platform. So he sent me this Scout, like shame on you for being a lover of cold steel large knives and not having this. And yes, indeed, shame on me, Jimmy. Josh, thank you so much. I appreciate this. This is such a great knife. And I mean, just unbelievably, like that back spring is a quarter inch thick. That blade steel, I don't know how thick the blade steel is, but it's pretty stout. Look at how broad. It's almost 2 inches wide. So there's a lot of room for that flat ground blade to thin out behind the edge. And this thing is, as all cold steel knives are, just a wicked, wicked cutter. So I did an audit of my backpack, my daily carry bag, and I just have way too much stuff in there. So this was part of trying to streamline the backpack and but also see, you know, will this take the place of a fixed blade? How much do you use that fixed blade you keep in your backpack, Bob? You might say, well, never. So that's why I think I'm safe probably taking this short period of time not having a fixed blade in my backpack. Welcome to my mind, people. Welcome to my head, you know. Jeez, really? You think this much about that stuff, Bob? Yes, really I do. But I have some bandwidth and I think of other stuff too. Really, really important stuff that I can't quite think of at the moment. But I'll let you know next week, right here on the Knife Junkie Midweek Supplemental. Please check out our interview show, came out on Sunday, with Israel Bacchus of Arcane Design. What a pleasure talking to this guy. Super cool guy. And but also has a design philosophy that is so locked in. It's exciting. And from knife to knife, you can see the DNA shared between sibling knives. There is one that he produces that you can buy on his website called the Antimatter, and that's my current folding obsession. So I'm going to be scheming. I keep using that word. I need to use something else. I'm planning on a purchase of that folding dagger called the Antimatter. So anyway, stay tuned for that. But definitely check out the interview show. We'll have another exciting interview on Sunday, and of course tomorrow night, Thursday night, knives at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard, right here live on YouTube. Until then, I'd like to say thanks for joining me here. Thanks for listening to me talk about my knives. And until we meet again, don't take dull for an answer.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, theknifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on theknifejunkie.com/Instagram and join our Facebook group at theknifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to Bob job at theknifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487, and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.